It's time to talk some Blues hockey. Welcome to the Blues NHL podcast, hosted by former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers and former Blues enforcer Darren Kimball.
And we got a problem in front of the Hawk bench. Kimball pulling at Roenick. Here's Kimball swinging at Roenick wildly, and the linesman trying to get in between them.
Look at Radek. He dropped the gloves with Rivers. The referee or the linesman should jump in here. You can't let a guy like Rivers continue to throw punches.
Federico stolen from Reinhart. Breaking in to Hunter. Hunter shooting. Rebound. Recognizer scores!
Here comes Chevalier. He'll be thrown out of the game. Curtis Joseph grabs Chevalier, and the two goalies go at it. Head to head. And Joseph with three great rights.
To Turgeon, Hall looking for 500. He shoots. He scores! Brett Hall, number 500.
Tarasenko in the clear. He scores.
And now, here's your off-ice official, Jim Cromer.
Hello, Blues fans. Welcome to the Thursday morning edition of your Blues NHL podcast. I'm your off-ice official, Jim Cromer. Let's welcome in the real talent of the show in studio today, former Blues, Jamie Rivers and Darren Kimball. What's going on, fellas?
I like the way Brian does that. Jim Cromer. Like, he's got the greatest TV game show voice ever. Like, I'd say stripper DJ, but he doesn't quite have the creepy in it. It's just really clear and perfect. He's like, next contestant on The Price is Right.
He fancies himself a voiceover type guy.
What's a stripper DJ?
You know those guys who play the music at a strip joint?
I think you know.
That's pretty self-explanatory.
I think you know.
Never been there.
I think you know.
Yeah, Kimby never listened to the music.
You guys never did, like, guest DJs at any of those events?
No.
What the hell you're talking
about? I got on stage one time, though. I did. Swung around the pole, tried to figure out how they do that, was getting tutoring at the same time. It's actually harder than it looks.
Was that a live show?
Yeah, like, it was, like, during the middle of the night.
Did you get any guy giving you money?
No, I don't know about that. I don't remember that, but I do remember going up there. I didn't take all my clothes off.
You don't remember you just didn't want to remember? Your brain's gone on you, or you were intoxicated?
Oh, they're probably all the above.
Got it.
But I do remember swinging around that pole and trying to go up and then drop down and do push-ups with your back. I tried to do all the crazy shit we see them do, but it's not.
I can see you up at the top of the pole and that spread eagle going down there.
You know what? I tried to do.
I can see that.
I tried to, like, just go sideways and let yourself slide. Dude, if your hands don't grip properly, like, those girls must have stick'em on their hands a little bit.
Don't worry about the hands.
They got something.
You get going too fast, and we're talking about fucking concussion protocol.
Was this, like, were you looking for a second career?
No. I got a friend of mine up in Canada. He owns two places in Ottawa, and, you know, when you kind of, I don't want to say you grow up around it, but you kind of do, and then you're in there one night, and it's your buddy who owns it, and everybody else that works there, you know, and you have a few cocktails, and then all of a sudden, before you know it, you just get on the stage and you're having fun. Nobody's getting hurt.
I'll be sleeping tonight and I'll see that old big man with a pole around his legs sliding down. I'm going, Jesus Christ, that's a nightmare.
I'm going to send you pictures later.
I don't know. I see some of yours. I don't want no more of them. I showed one of them to a guy at work the other day, and he said, what the hell's wrong with you? I said, that ain't even mine. That's the guy I know.
Oh, he's trying to blame me now.
We haven't even talked about a hockey game. We went off the rails.
No,
we went
off the rails quickly.
We went off the rails quickly here.
It's all right, sorry.
He must have drove by the Flint sign today, so he's all fired up.
No. I come the other way.
Wow.
Come on, Kimby.
You know, we got a lot of fans out there, too. I mean, they're waiting on a Jamie's Piss segment, but I know that I've kind of been telling them, we're not 20 games in yet.
I'm in coaching mode, right? So if I come out with a Jamie's Piss right now, it's like the coach coming in and breaking sticks too early in the season, and it backfires. So
yeah, I tell you what, though, you got to be close here, Ribs, because if you're a hockey fan watching some of this, I see the stuff you're posting. You know, you post hits that, and people.
Oh, that shit.
We're going right there.
That's fine. I
feel sorry for fucking people sometimes, because when you post something up and you're trying to illustrate to them, so-and-so did it. It was a fucking 20-game suspension. Now, this guy didn't get – and you're trying to – so why isn't there a thing here? And people just ain't relating to that.
They're not figuring out that I'm just – quite honestly, I'm not even taking a side on it.
No, exactly.
And I tried to make that very abundantly clear, saying I don't say this is a suspension or not.
Yeah.
I just want to know what you think. And the reason I was doing that was I literally had, like, a count sheet at home to see what people say, and it's almost 50%.
Yep.
And it's fucking amazing, right? Because – it's what's that that thing that they tell you to do. Like if you look at the white dress, you see purple or whatever. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know.
Like, people see different things when they look at something. This is exactly like one of those things is people look at a hit and they either see it as like suspendable for life or cleanest hit ever. It's and it's like there's no in between. And it kind of, you and I talked on the phone about it. It kind of revolves around where we are in society, like not politics, but if we're using politics as a comparable, like you're either left side or right side. There's no possible way that you're in the mix somewhere in the middle where you agree with certain things. It's like either black or white. Yeah. And that's what's the problem with the hitting is it's crazy right now. If you post something out there, you get ate up right away by people from the opposite side. Yeah. Like instead of talking about it, they just want to like get on you. Yeah. And it's
that's why the word block has become so good for me. I start blocking some of this shit.
Don't you think though too, and I'm categorizing people in general, like I'm not saying this is everybody, but it sure seems to me like almost everything in life's this way now, and you can carry it over into this, and I'm not giving it the whole new generation thing. But people kind of see what they want to see. If you're on that side, that's how you're going to see
it. Well, people have a stance now, right?
Right.
Like, kind of like we just said, and that's their stance. And even if they're wrong, they're not abandoning their stance.
Well, I'm going to say, after it's been, what, 2 or 3 weeks of all this shit storm on social media, why you found the block button, all that kind of stuff, lost in all of that. And I, you know what, so many times I started to tweet at people, lost in all of this, the only thing that Darren really said at the time was that got lost in this whole thing was, the game is so fast, and it came full circle when you tweeted the Joey Vitale hit last night.
Yeah.
Okay, it made me think of it last night. All Darren really said is, take the Joey Vitale hit. That happened so fast that all it takes is a short little movement or change in this game. And Joey Vitale's hit, who was absolutely clean,
100%.
He could have hit him in the head, no problem.
If that
and
player,
he didn't intend to,
no.
But he could have hit him in the head.
That player's cutting across the ice, and Joey's timing is perfect so that when he continues to cut, it's shoulder on shoulder. If that player sees him at the last second and changes direction to go the other way, guess what? It doesn't go shoulders, it goes shoulder to chin. And now we've got 20 games.
And just an off note on that, we'll get right back, but off note on that, did you see what fucking happened after Joey hit the guy?
Oh, yeah.
The boys come to play the game.
How about if you watch that clip, though? Everybody ends up fighting except Joey.
Yeah, I was going. I'm watching that.
And it's not because he wouldn't.
Yeah.
It's just funny how that works.
Fuck, that went right to the coaches and everything there, and I laughed my ass off when I saw it.
Well, but, and that's what you said, too. You see, people were acting like you were like, well, they shouldn't do anything. You didn't. In fact, you came right out and said, we fought for less than that, I promise you.
Here's my biggest thing with when we're getting into the hitting things, and I watch all the
– Well, we got a list of it over here.
Yeah.
So,
because it's a mile long.
But here's what my thing is, and I teach this to my 13-year-old kids and my 14-year-old kids. This is my biggest thing I teach them. Do not hit a fucking guy from behind. If he's close to the boards, don't run into him. Because I'm scared someone's going to have their head down and get jammed into that back into the boards, and they're going to get paralyzed, or something bad's going to happen. That's my biggest thing. If you're skating forward and your head's down, I you know, that's where I'm having a hard time with it. Because if you're going to skate through the middle of the ice with your head down, we used to, not we, but even when I was a Bantam kid, though, and even out in practice, we'd hit the son of a bitch because you were told that would get your head to go up then, you know, because you would start looking.
Yeah.
So, and I commented on Ribs when he posted something the other day. I said, he goes, well, what would the NHL do now? I said, basically the NHL sits there and they sort of go, how fucking bad did the guy get hurt? Did he get a concussion? If you put the word concussion on a guy that gets hit, the fucker's getting suspended. I'm telling you that right now. That's what they're going to do to him. So, because they've showed exact same hits where nothing's happened. But I'm just, my biggest thing is because kids are watching this game, and when they watch the game of hockey, I hate when someone gets hit from behind because then a kid's going to believe that. And at least at the NHL level, I even teach my kids, and I'm doing right now, I said, if you're getting to the boards, get right beside the sons of bitches, please. Get there. Don't stand away from the boards, because if you get hit from behind, trouble's coming. Yeah. And NHL players understand that, but little kids watching that don't.
Of all the hits, the one thing that bothers me the most is in the Matheson hit. That I got the right hit, right? That's the one against the board, right? Where he quote-unquote throws him down.
Well, he viciously throws him to the ice. Like, I get it. But did anybody catch the clip I put out there of P.K. Subban's?
Yeah, exact same thing.
It's a damn sucker punch.
Probably even worse.
From behind to Sebastian Aho.
Correct.
And if Aho goes down with a concussion, I'd like to see what they did. But it was P.K. Subban. Yep. And he came in, and I mean, he wound up from downtown Nashville with that punch and clocked him, same exact way that Matheson did, in twisting his body to thrust him to the ice. And I'm like, how is one a suspension and how is one not? And then they go into, well, there was an injury. And so this brings me back to my original pet peeve here for the week. Not pet peeve, but what I put out there about the Gallagher hit on the Ottawa guy, which, by the way, can you say the Ottawa guy's last name for me, Kimby?
No.
Please, can you try?
No.
Do you know it?
I do not.
Borowiecki. It's spelled Borowiecki. So, anyway.
Let's go with Borowiecki. That sounds better.
All right. So, Borow.
He can say that one.
He can say that one.
He's got it down.
But, you know, he's going back for the puck, and like you talk about, yeah, does he put himself in a bad position? 100%. Now,
I don't think he does it intentionally, though.
No, he doesn't.
No.
But everybody's like, oh, no, Gallagher couldn't stop. And the comments are entertaining, to say the least. But when you watch Borowiecki, at the goal line, he's in a vulnerable position. And Gallagher sees it at the goal line, yet continues his path through him into the end boards to the back of the head. Like, he could have broke his neck.
Yeah.
And no injury on the play. Gallagher gets 2 minutes. No suspension, no phone call.
Correct. That's the ones I'm talking about. Those are the scary ones.
But hang on. So this is where we get a little bit better on this one, is that week, Borowiecki's pissed because he's like, how the fuck am I, you know, do I get hit like that and no suspension? George Parros and the player department, Department of Player Safety, rather, are actually in Ottawa that week to talk to the players because they're doing their little tour. Yep. Mm-hmm. And Parros goes in and talks to the team. Borowiecki asks him, what the fuck? You know, and he goes on to say, and you can find it on Twitter, on the internet, George Parros goes on to say that, yes, unfortunately, there is a bias to where big guys, little guys come into play. If a guy gets hurt or not, comes into play. So can you imagine being that Borowiecki? He just got absolutely pulverized, could have had his career ended.
Correct.
Okay. And then, but wait, Jim, there's more. It gets better. They play Boston, two nights later. And there's a scrum in front of the net, and everybody's going nuts, and the guy comes flying in from Boston, some European guy, I don't even know his name, and Borowiecki puts his arm up. He doesn't thrust an elbow into the guy's chin. He puts his arm up in a defensive mode, which, yes, it was at head height, and it did hit him in the face, and the guy did go down, suffered an injury, though.
That's what I'm talking
about. Put into concussion protocol.
Exactly.
Next day, Borowiecki's got a phone hearing. He's suspended for a game. So now tell me, how do you feel as that player that you know, and they talk about it everywhere. The players have to feel safe, right? Now, Borowiecki goes back, doesn't feel safe because Gallagher runs his head through the boards from behind, gives an elbow to the Boston guy, which it results in an injury. I'm not questioning that. I guess ultimately, and this is where I get frustrated, I'm just questioning the standard. What are the guidelines here?
Here's I've said this before, we even get into this year where you're going. With Parros sitting in there, because he was an enforcer in the National Hockey League, you know, I don't give a fuck if he went to Princeton, fucking wherever the hell he went to, but he went there.
Great mustache.
But, so he goes there. The guy before him was Stephen Quintel. Well, Stephen Quintel, if the game was played like it is today, he doesn't play in the damn league.
And the guy before him?
It was Shanny, who built
Pronger.
His reputation.
Don't forget about Pronger and Shanny.
Shanny and Pronger. So they've all gone through this process. So here's where I have the hard part, understanding what's going on. All four of these guys had to play this game at that, not had to, but Shanny started out playing that way. You know, that's how he got respect.
He finished that way. He was nuts, man.
And Pronger, that he established that, you know, one of the scariest guys probably to play against because of his stick and everything. So they've all played this, but they're getting a job, and I believe, obviously, this is my belief, I don't know, but before they get the job, I think Mr. Bettman comes in through the door and says, this is the way it will fucking run, and that's what's going to happen.
Conspiracy theories,
But wait, I don't even know that that's conspiracy. I think you just assume that, right?
Yeah. Well, you got to assume that because those players are put in a position, not as fakes, or what do you call those people, decoys? They're not put in there as
pawns.
Decoy, pawn. It's just really tough. And you know what? I wouldn't want that job. But look I put one tweet.
You want it because you get paid well.
But look at what I'm saying is I put that tweet out, 2 days ago about what do you think? And look at what I got for responses. Can you imagine if I was actually to make decisions on these things?
Oh, no. I could see
my
that.
House would be burned down to the ground. Yeah. Like, fuck, I'm not kidding you.
No, so, I agree. But let's go. I wish So you put out Joey's hit on the guy the other day. You put that one out. Not many Blues fans fucking say nuts about that one, though, because, you know, Joey's his local boy, St. Louis boy. Yeah. He's the announcer.
Joey broadcaster.
Yeah. So, but all of a sudden, the guy that, when Sundquist gets hurt by the mean, big, bad boy in Washington now, fuck, the St. Louis crowd just goes crazy.
Yeah. Well, you know? Well, I agree with you, obviously. But I'm not even going to go back to the Wilson hit, because that's like, holy shit. You want to ice pick the friggin' hornet's nest, just talk about that. Like, but...
Whatever happened to the appeal on that? They went there, and have we heard any word of that yet?
Nothing yet.
No?
Nothing yet.
Gary's deciding if it's going to be 19 or 20.
Well, he's trying to drag it out, right, so that it gets to the number. But my overall, to wrap this up, is my overall frustration is that the guidelines just aren't there. Like, and I'll just use the two examples that I have, which is the Subban sucker punch slash throw the guy to the ice viciously. Doesn't get hurt, nothing. Matheson throws the guy to the ice, not a sucker punch in the face, just throws him because he's stronger. Concussion, suspension. But so I don't know how those, you know, basically you're saying if a guy gets hurt, you're suspended. Well, what if he's not really hurt but says he's hurt? Like, and then playoffs come, right?
Oh, yeah.
So now if we're in the playoffs and you have a fourth liner, you're like, if this fucking guy touches you, you're going down.
Yeah.
And hopefully we get a suspension.
But that, and I think that's what probably the fans are having the hardest time with, and I think the players have a hard time with it because
the players have to be frustrated. Yeah, I wouldn't even know what to do
exactly.
anymore.
Exactly. So what, you know, if you guys can't run a, you know, it's basically actually the NHL's gone to the real world here. We're gonna get into the real world jobs where politics plays, and I'm not saying politics in that sense, but
no, depending your status
on, depending on who you are,
your status reflects
is what's going to go on, and you're making calls on that. So a player can't even decide what the hell how to hit a guy anymore because he doesn't know how to. Because if your head's down and that guy doesn't get hurt, you're going to be okay. If his head's down and that guy gets a concussion, you're screwed.
Well, what's frustrating, and like I said, to wrap this up, what's frustrating is then we go from Matheson Subban comparables
correct
over to the Borwietzky getting lambasted from behind, you know, neck breaker kind of hit to a forearm up in a guy's face, which isn't right. Okay.
Nope.
So even if I'm to say, you know what, that's horseshit, that's a game suspension. Okay. New NHL, we're going to say that's a game. But then you have to suspend Gallagher for his hit from behind.
Which hit in that situation, out of those two hits that you just talked about, which one has the chance to put you seriously into a hospital?
Oh, the one from behind.
Exactly.
Oh, that's a hospital and your career.
Yeah. That's the ones that I. Even back in the day when they started putting the stop sign on these little kids back in the jersey, you know what I mean? So when they did that, I got it. I said, I understand that because I've been to games. I've coached little kids, and I've seen a kid go in there, and he gets bumped. Not on the intent, but a kid just doesn't understand.
The momentum.
And it scares the living shit out of you, man, to watch a kid lay on the ice. You don't ever want to see that.
It's awful. So anyways, I mean, to I guess sum it up, we don't have any conclusion or answers to this.
Yeah, we went nowhere.
We went nowhere.
Yeah,
no,
we just went in a big circle.
But I felt like the discussion was necessary just so people know.
But you can't go nowhere, Jim, because you don't know the fucking guidelines. That's what
what I meant.
There's nowhere to go.
Yeah. So, you know, as much as we post stuff on Twitter and that, like, unless you have a very good, not argument, but point on it, like, it's pointless to just go throwing comments, but I don't know. The NHL has to develop black and white standards here, or, like I said before, every single hit will be scrutinized, and 50% will say suspension, 50% will say nothing.
Well, we're going to get into some Blues talk here. It was an interesting road trip. Before we get to that, let's remind you to check us out, bluesnhlpodcast.com. Do your shopping at Amazon there. Help our producers, Brian Kroc and Andrew Allen. You can subscribe to the show. It's free. You'll get a notification on your mobile device each time the show comes out. Find us on social media at STL Blues Podcast. If you're a Blues fan and you follow us on Twitter, we're going to follow you back. Don't forget our Instagram account at Blues NHL Podcast Show. Blues NHL Podcast Show. Follow us on Instagram. Twitter is a great thing. We love Instagram. We're trying to get bigger on Instagram. Facebook has been a big push for us lately. Simply type in Blues NHL Podcast, like our Facebook page, follow us. Click invite your friends. If you're a Blues fan, I'm sure all your friends are as well. Invite them to like the page and get involved in the conversation. We're going to be doing some contests throughout the season here with some autograph memorabilia, things like that. To be qualified for that, the interns are watching all of our pinned posts. They come out on Mondays and Thursdays, usually right around 5 o'clock. If you like that post, comment on it and share it. you're eligible for those prizes. So that's Blues NHL Podcast on Facebook. LineupMedia.fm, thank you for the continued support. Home of Yo Radio, the newest streaming platform. The new version is out. Download it on your mobile device today. It is free. You're going to love the new sleek version. Again, that's Yo Radio. And InnovativeCompanies.com, thank you for your continued support. My man Randy Green, he does a tremendous job, 35 years experience, second-generation craftsman. Residential, commercial, industrial, does not matter. He's got you covered. All four arms underneath that umbrella. Construction, heating and cooling, electric, and, of course, the new plumbing team. That's Randy Green, Innovative Companies. All right, gents.
All right. What do you got for us, Cromer?
Well,
talk to me.
Well,
do something.
Interesting little road trip.
Passenger.
We talked last week, the puck giveaway night at the Bell Center, and then we go into Toronto and kind of laugh. I was no Nostradamus here. I jokingly had said it'd be totally Blues to go into Toronto and win. You had even made the comment you didn't like seeing them lose.
Yeah, I didn't like the way it sat with Toronto sitting at home after getting shut out by Pittsburgh, and you have a Blues team that is, well, we'll say it, struggling coming in on a Saturday night, hockey night in Canada, that usually doesn't bode well for the opposition.
Yes. But the Blues go in and play, let's be honest, probably for the first time this year, a complete 60 minutes of hockey.
They look good, man.
And then we go into, Kimby's favorite stomping grounds there, Winnipeg. And I thought, for the most part, I thought we played pretty well.
Well, we came out guns a-blazing, right? Like, at one point, the shots were 12-3, and the Blues are up 1-0. It doesn't get much better than that. And that's in the first period.
18 after the first, though.
Yeah, craziness, right? So if you translate that to three periods, you're up around 60 shots on goal. You'll take that any time.
Would it go 18-16 or 18-6-5 or something? Didn't the shots go that night?
Yeah, it wasn't. It certainly dipped.
And they still played good in the second, all right in the second. Not great, but all right, they hung on.
But you felt the third period, the minute it started, you could feel it through the television.
Well, the problem with that game, though, is from the get-go, it was very difficult for both teams to find a rhythm because there were so many penalties called. And so it's weird. The dynamic that creates for the players on the ice is not, there's no flow to it, right? Because you've only got a handful of guys now that are playing a ton. Yep. You've got some guys who don't play at all in those situations. There's no transition game going on because it's all special teams. There's no cycling. There's no, it's very different to playing a game where there's so many penalties. So that right away is kind of kicks you off balance. But both teams, I'm not just saying the Blues, both teams have to go through that. The first period was, I don't want to say textbook, but pretty damn close. They did a great job. It looked like the carryover from Toronto was there. And certainly, O'Reilly is still clicking. You see his work ethic, and he's playing really well with David Perron. That's nice to see. And Zach Sanford in the lineup in that spot looked good. I thought he was anyways. But then you start to see halfway through the game where, whether it's by design or certainly the third period, whether it's attributed to Winnipeg playing that much better and the Blues not playing well enough, or if it's, just the Blues. What I worry about is the Blues coming out and they're just struggling, right? Like they know now that third periods are their weakness. They've been coming up short for whatever reason. And sometimes, Kimby, as you know, that gets in your head, right?
Yep.
So you're going in the third period, and everybody, including the coach, is probably in their mission. Okay, guys, let's close out this third. Let's make sure we close out the third. Let's make sure we don't give them any momentum. Let's make sure we're playing smart. Let's make sure we're playing safe.
Yep.
And guess what? You start to go out there. You start gripping the stick a little more. You're trying to make the easy plays. There's no more playing the game as it's coming to you. You're literally thinking too much at the time. And that's what I'm seeing right now. Is these guys, you can tell that they want to win as far as like the way their mentality is, but it's tightening them up so much that they're not able to close out these games. They're really worried about it. That's my thoughts anyways.
You're correct. And I don't know if what you said there, I can't even add to, you're right on the money what you're saying. Where I'm going to go to just a little bit is the elephant in the room with the guy, and I'm pretty sure you talked about him on Monday. But because I wasn't here Monday to talk with you, but when you're sitting there, and this is the part that bugs me, and I got nothing against Yo as a coach, because these people that keep fucking, so you can bring Scotty Bowman in here, and this shit's it's all in the room right now. It's not on Yo, so I'm not even going there. The part that's on Yo is how he's dealing with the one fucking defenseman. That's what's going on.
But is it him, or do you think it's a combined effort? Like, I'm wondering who is pulling the strings completely.
Okay.
I know he's a head guy, but still, you know what I'm saying.
But I was trying to tell, because I yelled at my TV.
I'd like to have been there for that.
My kid wants
Did
to
it
know,
answer back?
No.
Okay.
But my kid wants to know why, and I said, this is the part that always bugs me, Lawson. I said, even when I was playing, I said, and I related myself to a fourth, I was a fourth line player, and I was a fighter, and I'm watching a third line guy just do absolutely fuck all, nothing. And he just continues to go, and he just continues to get the ice time. He continues, and there's no repercussion to the guy. And you're sitting there working your ass off every day in practice. You're getting bag skated, but you were setting that rule. There was a role for you, and you weren't getting out of that rule. So as we go to here, I can go with you on the Yo part. Or maybe he's not in total control. Maybe they're trying to, and I tried to say this. This is exactly what I told my kid. Maybe he's getting told, Lawson, from the general manager, you need to play this motherfucker because I got to trade him. And I can't trade him if he's sitting on the bench. So, but I'm just going, here's what my problem is, though. So, because the part that I have a hard time with Yo on this one is, so I don't play him in Toronto. I play Dunn. And Dunn gets a goal and whatever. And that might be just by luck or whatever. But the kid deserved, he did something right.
Sure.
I like Dunn. He's played well. And I think he fits in the spot on those top four. The next game you come back and he plays 14 minutes. And Bo Meester plays 20-some minutes again. So you've taken
a goal
that,
and an assist for Dunn.
Yeah. And so you take Bo Meester and all of a sudden, so you've gone from up there eating Shen shows in Montreal or in Toronto or wherever they call it. And now you're here. And you're going to take more ice time away from a guy that just played a pretty good hockey.
That's the number one question, Rivs, Kimby, and you kind of have already addressed it, Rivs. Number one thing on Twitter. Even the people, listen, there's a faction that want him gone. They don't ever want him to wear a blue note again. There's a faction that understand he could be serviceable as a third pairing defenseman.
Correct.
But everybody to a man cannot fathom how a guy goes from being a scratch to playing more minutes.
No,
then everybody.
Hold on. To add to you, no, that's not where we're going to go over Bo Meester's last little while here, okay? Because sometimes guys get scratched and they go back to their spits because it's a wake-up call. That's what it is. And maybe they were treating Bo Meester as a wake-up call because the guy played a consecutive amount of games that,
over 1,100 games. That's pretty impressive.
And he read in the paper or wherever the people said, this is the first time this happened to him. So this is a new experience to him. Maybe – hey, fuck stick. It's a wake up call to you.
Well, okay.
I'll
give you that. But then he comes out and he's not good.
But let me finish though. But so that's what they did. To him. So the coach is maybe going through this process, saying here, maybe I give him a wake up call this way, but I'm going to bring him back and I'm going to let him see how he reacts to the wake up call. Obviously, that didn't go good. Rivs was saying this from the get, and we talked about this before this season even starts. When I was talking to Rivs, about reducing his minutes. Because I think this, and I believe he even said Dunn, and I, sit up there in this spot, but now reduce his minutes. So I think the wake-up call's been given. It didn't react very good to the wake-up call. But now I think Yo's got to sit there, or whoever, like Riff says, it might not even be Yo. I don't know. Because, there's a lot of guys that are making calls. In fact, they got all these Stanley Cups sitting up there being assistant GMs and all this shit now. So maybe.
It's true.
Maybe. You always got to sit there and somehow plead to these people that are telling him what to do, or if that's the case, and say, hey, I'll play him, but I got to reduce his minutes because I got this other kid that's doing really well. I got Edmondson that's doing really well. Let me play these guys and just sit him at that third pairing and reduce his minutes.
The trade thing is the only answer.
Yeah, no, but listen, that's not going to happen, okay? So I'll explain a few things to you here as we go. First of all, if I'm Mike Yo, if we're going to hit on that, okay? Mike Yo at this point, and nobody's suggesting that he's taking orders from anybody, okay? We're wondering if he's got full control. But secondly is when you're – I don't want to say he's on the hot seat because it's not my call. I'm not saying that to spark any bullshit rumors. But when you're not – when your team is not performing well, as an individual, at anything you do in work, you know that, shit, I'm feeling a little bit of the hot seat right now. And if that's the case, then as an individual – I'm hoping he's taking full control and saying, fuck it. I don't care what these guys are saying right now. It's going to be my way because otherwise it's my ass. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if they're there yet. I have no insider information on that at all. And even if I did, I wouldn't comment on it because it's not my position. Now, to get back to Jay Bo Meester, his game wasn't horrible. the other night. I know everybody, what? Oh, minus three. I understand. Okay. His game wasn't horrible. The goal that goes off of him into the net, he's supposed to take that pass away from below the goal line to the offside D. Now, the position that he took to block it or to stay in the way may have been the wrong way to do it. And it was unfortunate. And, you know, you could try, Shifley could try to do that 20 times and probably hit it once, right? So, but here's where, as a coach and even as a player, you start to be very aware of things are sliding downhill out of control a little bit. And then he's on the ice again and they score. He's on the ice again and they score. Now you're sitting there as a player going, holy shit, what do I do here? And he's getting, you know, deflated, right? Yeah, so he's been scratched. He knows that the media and the fans are literally tearing him apart. And now everything he does ends up in the back of the net. Mm-hmm. And it's an awful feeling. I've been there. It's an awful feeling. You can't dig yourself out of the hole. The only way to get out of the hole is for somebody to help you, play you less, put you in situations to succeed, build up a few games.
Exactly.
And work your way, I don't want to necessarily say back to where you were, but work your minutes up a little bit. And so.
But in all reality, let's go to Whoville because we're getting close to Christmas, so we'll go to Whoville. So what's happening in Whoville right now is.
Whoville.
A general manager just come out at the start of the season, makes an unbelievable trade. Gets these guys to come in, gets Bozak to come in on the signs him in, gets the Buffalo boys to come in. So he's taking care of his ass right now. So now all of a sudden the pressure reflects to where Yo is. How are you going to start the season? Well, the season ain't started very good. So now the pressure goes to Yo. So you hope that he gets to, you know, and I know how the National Hockey League works and you know how it works, Ribs. You hope the coach is getting all the decisions. If he's a coach and GM, he's probably getting all the decisions, and he might not even get them then. But, you know, there's always higher-ups that are going to sort of step on your neck because they want so-and-so. But right now the pressure from the Blues play is probably sitting on you. And like I said, you could bring Scotty Bowman in here right now. I think the makeup of the team isn't what the makeup of the team needs to be. And where I want to go to, and I was thinking when I was coming in here, you know, how they talked about the season, how we get the young kids rolling, we're going to put them on the fourth line. I think some of them have gone down to the minors now. But – I told you guys I was going to go watch some other hockey games just to see what the hell's going on out there. I watched the Colorado and Tampa Bay game. Now, two elite hockey clubs at this level right now. They were playing a high level last night, and there was banging going on. Mm-hmm. You know, there was hitting going on. The Blues don't have that in their lineup right now. And I know Patty Maroon's a big kid in that, but...
Well, he's only one guy.
Yeah, but it's not... He can't go out and just run everybody around by himself, and it's going to solve the whole problem. You know, there's got to be a makeup on this team, and I don't see the makeup fitting just right now where... And I'll always go back to it, and I'm just going to use this because St. Louis fans know this guy. But you got a guy like Reeves, even in the spot that he played in, just a player like him.
Or even Brodziak.
Yeah, that would run around and just cause that. Not the fourth line doesn't need to be a finesse line. You got all the finesse in the goddamn world sitting on the top three lines. You got everything you need. But there's got to be a game changer here somewhere. So if you're going to sit on that fourth line, you can't be expected to play 6 minutes and go out and think you're going to score goals. That's not what that line's going to do. But it needs to create excitement. And I was talking to Riz before. The Jumbotron is the excitement right now. You watch these seven games coming up. It can't be the Jumbotron creating the excitement. It's got to be the players on the ice that get involved in this game, and someone's got to step up and grab this thing. But I don't know if the makeup's there to play that kind of game. You know, they're playing an outside game, but some guys got to get to the inside.
Well, here's the thing, right? And we touched on it Monday, is to be hard to play against, and I understand where you're coming from. You have your fourth line guys or your bangers or your grinders, right? That's one way to do it. But if you really want to talk about being hard to play against, it encompasses a lot of things. One, it's tenacious on a forecheck, tenacious on a backcheck, or tracking, as they call it these days. You play hard defense. You advance pucks. You push the pace up the ice. You make sure that you're playing with speed at all times, that we're moving the puck quickly. That makes teams hard to play against. Yep. Getting in the shot lane, stick on puck, all this stuff makes teams hard to play against. It makes your life harder as the opposition. And so, as much as I agree with what you're saying, one, I don't think we have the staff to play the way you want them to play.
No, we don't.
Two, I think that there's a way that these young guys can make it hard to play against in a different way. They can advance the puck. They can cycle the puck. They can do a lot because they have the speed and the ability. We don't have the size or the physicality. So it's useless, in my opinion. It's useless to even talk about it because it's not there. Mm-hmm. It's like saying, man, I wish we had Crosby. Well, but yeah, no shit. But
it's
a
conversation to have, though, Ribs.
It's not going
to
change right now.
Like, no, it's not going to change right now, but you're going to deal with it. But what you're here, you're sort of trying to throw this information out so the fans can understand exactly where you're coming from, because who won the Stanley Cup last year? How big were they? Look at, that makeup's
the
there.
Biggest, fastest, toughest team in the league.
Look at the team they just played, the Winnipeg. They're big. Look at Nashville.
I know.
These teams play a heavy game, and that's who you're going to have to go through.
I know, but I don't like to look at things that, like, I don't like to look at the if my aunt had balls, she'd meet my uncle thing.
I agree with you.
I like to say this is what we've got right now currently, so we have to figure it out.
Yeah.
But the salary cap, and there's no trades available, and to kind of bounce backwards to what you talked about earlier with Bouwmeester with the trade, we've talked about how his financial situation kind of handcuffs the Blues a little bit. Nobody's really thrilled with it. Well, nobody's taking that on, okay? Especially right now. If he was a commodity or something in the stock market, his stock would be diving right now, and very few people want to buy a stock that's diving for a high price, okay? So hang on.
No.
I'm on a roll.
Fine. Yeah, you're fine.
But then what you've got to do is you've got to figure out a way to increase his stock. And that's what I said earlier, where you put him in positions to succeed, to increase his stock, and then maybe you find a suitor close enough to the trade deadline. But then, guys, my overall thought here then is, what do we have in waiting? Like, who do we have? Like, I know Carl Gunnarsson had a really good year last year. He did. And I've been hard on him in the past and whatnot, but he had a good season last year, was effective as just that guy, the guy you don't hear about ever, which is perfect, right? So you got him. But then what? Like, we have Butler in the minors, who's a veteran kind of guy, can play if needed. But we have Wallman, and we have the new guy there, the big tall kid. But those guys have no experience. So what are you going to do? You're going to bring in a bunch of young guys now to play Bouwmeester minutes? No. If Mike Yeo's not giving Vince Dunn the minutes right now to eat them up, he certainly, the staff certainly isn't going to give a new kid all these minutes. So you're stuck. You're literally stuck with this right now.
So if that's the case, then, and the reason I'm where I went, I watch what happens on Twitter, and I watch what happens in the media, and Mike and Yo's the ones getting blamed right now. That's where it's
it always ends up there.
Yeah, but it's ending up there. So, and just to be fair to and to throw it out there is, he's not the one that made this team up. He's not the one that put these players there. That goes to the general manager now. So, and the Army's got to understand that, because he's won a Stanley Cup. He's an intelligent man. He's got to see what the league's doing. He's got to have an understanding of that. So you're bringing players in and you're going to fit them in, but it's not fitting. It's just not fitting right now.
On paper, and I've said before, paper, I've never seen a piece
talent
of paper.
Talent-wise, yes.
Lift a Stanley Cup.
But talent-wise, yes. But I'm talking makeup of a team. Again, we'll go back to on Twitter use. Joey Vitale, where's that player on the Blues?
I know, but Kimby, you keep going back to this. We're not in fucking fantasy land.
Hold on here.
Do you think you're going to make a wish and things change?
I'm just saying that I'm going to where the makeup of the team is, though. So why wouldn't they thought of this process? Was their thought process of what I'm asking you? I understand what you got. But if their thought process, we're just going to throw four fucking skill lines on the ice and that's going to dominate this thing.
I don't disagree with the concept. If your four lines are good enough, it can work. It can. There's plenty of teams in the NHL. Let's take the Washington Capitals out of it because they have one of the big boys. We'll call them the big three, because in my opinion, there's Wilson, Lucic, and Reeves that are the guys, the big three. You know, Jamie Benn, obviously, but he's a really skilled player. But going into the season with the talent that they had and with the makeup of what they had on the roster, what other direction do you go in?
I said, I'm agreeing with you got, but I'm not. But I'm blaming somebody for it, though.
You're going to put Yashkin, Sundqvist, and who on the fourth line? Now what?
I'm agreeing with you, but I'm blaming someone for it because I don't think that's going to cut it. That's what my disagreement is.
Well, I think Army went in a different direction because I think there were some critics out there that thought the Blues were a little slow afoot last year and that they didn't play a quick enough game. And I think he tried to increase the team speed and the team's overall skill ability. And whether it works or not is to be determined. It's not working right now.
But so, and when what's gone on here in St. Louis lately, and I feed off of what I hear. So first it was Jake's fault. But Jake's playing well.
Yeah,
you can't blame Jake anymore.
Talk about him.
So you go to Yo. Now we're going down to Yo's fault. But there's a reason why it's going here. And like I said, they got a 7-game homestand coming in, and they got some tough teams coming in here to play him.
Well, every team's tough
right
now.
It's tough, and it's so the 7-game homestand basically. I think if the shit don't get going down in the right direction, I think there's some shaking around going to happen.
Well, naturally. I mean, just
and it starts with your big player, the big goal scorer, because he scored in one game.
What's he going to do?
No, what's he going to do? I'm just saying there's a guy maybe that you can make a shake up because he's not doing nothing for you.
Who would want that, though?
I don't know.
But that's my thing,
that's
right? I get frustrated, not with you, but just in general with the way the NHL is right now, because if you need to make a move, you simply cannot.
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to do? Trade Tarasenko for who?
Yeah.
He's, what, $8 million on the salary cap. And if, for some reason, he continues to not put goals in the net, who the hell do you think is lining up first going, me, please, I'll take him?
Yeah.
And then what do you think they're going to give up? Because if they're adding a player like that, like, they're obviously looking to make a run for it at some point. What are they going to give up?
Yeah.
Like, the only real big hockey trades we've seen in the last little bit were, like, Subban for Shea Weber. Like, that was a big hockey trade, right?
Yep.
And then Seth Jones for Ryan Johansson. That was a big hockey trade. Like, David Poile seems to be the only guy that can orchestrate a hockey trade.
Yeah.
You know, without variables in there. Like, we talk about it was a great deal for Laterra for Shen, but there was a first-rounder involved.
But the thing is, though, Ribs, at the start of the season, and you're closer to this than I am, and basically I'm sitting as a fan watching, and I understand the game of hockey, but Blues were coming in, and we talked about it. I'm looking on paper as you're looking on paper, and I was thinking that they were going to have a chance to run for the top of their place, the division.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that there could be a top 10 team in the National Hockey League. I'm looking on paper.
Yep.
So if I'm looking on paper and I'm seeing that and things aren't going well, there's got to be some fucking talent on this team that if someone out in this league's got to be, you know, as they view around and they're scouting and they're doing – there's got to be some kind of talent that you're looking at that
well,
you can play
is,
this
but
shit.
Here's the thing is there were lots of people involved in wanting the players that the Blues got, mm-hmm. okay? Now, the problem is their stock is not there. So if I'm – and the Blues are not in a position of leverage, right? So they're literally sitting there
right
like
now,
a carcass being, you know, picked at by the vultures. So if I'm David Poile, that's because he's on my mind right now, and I call Doug Armstrong, I'm not going to offer you P.K. Subban.
Exactly.
I'm going to say, oh, you can have my third liner and two draft choices for him.
I understand.
Well, I don't want that. You know. So, unfortunately, the Blues are in a situation where unless they want to totally redo things, which, I mean, major shakeup, and then they have – but then they're back to where they were 2 years ago. Yep. Like, this was supposed to be the roster that gets it done. And I don't mean, like, lifting the Stanley Cup. I think we thought that it was a possibility, and it might still be. Guys – what was Washington last year, like 2-5 to start the season?
No, I said like I'd give them 20 games to see where they're at. I'm just talking about in general.
I know. I just think I don't think the answers are from outside of the locker room. I think that the answers have to come from inside the locker room, and players have to execute better and whatever, you know, I don't know their systems. I don't know what they're playing. But whatever it is, then they need to tweak it and make sure that they can be more successful with the staff they have playing a certain way to get the best out of everybody.
You know, it's interesting you said you give them 20 games. Think about what's happening as we speak. We're on a 7-game homestand, which they got to make some hay here because, you know, that's going to put them at 15.
They got to win 5 of those 7.
They're going to be at 15, and then when they leave here, they go Chicago, Vegas, San Jose.
Chicago again?
Yeah.
Holy shit, talk about getting your Blackhawks fix.
Back in the old days, you play them 8 times.
Yeah,
you
know? Those were...
That was fun.
It was kind of fun.
Then you
fun.
Come home and hit Los Angeles once and then do a home-and-home with Nashville before you play Winnipeg again.
It's tough.
So
this is tough.
The NHL these days, unfortunately, it's every night is go time. Like, yeah. You don't get... Like, even the Carolina Hurricanes that we made fun of going into the season, look at the noise they're making. I mean, the only gimme right now in the league is Detroit.
Yeah,
and they're not a gimme, but you know what I'm saying. If you're playing them right now, you think, you probably got a pretty good chance of beating that team.
You know what's amazing? And unless you have it right in front of you, and I'm looking at it because we're talking about it, but you look at this season and how it hasn't started as we wanted to start. But, you know, you look at a game, forget the home opener, but, you know, the Chicago game, you lose 5-4 in overtime, right? You lose 4-3 in overtime at Chicago, and then it's 3-2 Anaheim. 3-2 in Montreal. We
the Montreal one, you just gave a point away.
Yeah, and then the Winnipeg 5-4 in overtime. It's like there's you feel like the sky's falling, but then you look back at this and go, holy cow, how many points did we leave on this?
Yeah, there are only three games that they didn't get points in. Because they're 2-3-3. So that means, you know, two wins, you get 4 points there, and then three overtime losses or whatever you call them, and that's 3 points. There's only three games where they haven't gotten points. Now, that's like, okay, it's fun to tie, right? No, it's not. We understand that it's not, you know, that's not the goal, but it could be worse.
What's the word on Bertuzzo? Is he out still or is he coming back?
Second opinion's never good.
Yeah, he's not. I wouldn't expect him back anytime soon. But to move down the line of our list here, Robbie Fabbri scored a goal last night in San Antonio, shorthanded.
Shorty.
Yeah. Don't call him short. That's not nice.
Well, he is short. Isn't
he is short. That's why he's a little sensitive. but, you know, where does he slot in, right? Yeah. Like, now if we're really going to start to roll the bingo balls, and Sammy Blais is sent down to San Antonio, too. Yeah. Now, I didn't think the Sammy Blais experience was going that bad. You want to talk about a guy who, what you're describing, he was leading the team in hits.
Yeah.
And he's not a vicious player, but he's a big guy, skates well, and he was getting in some hits. Now, I don't know, you know, all the analytics on how his season was going, but he also wasn't put in a position to get a lot of points, right? So,
and then the same guy's going to happen pretty soon. The kid's going to, by the way, looking, the kid's going back to junior here pretty soon.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I mean, that's a tough one, but I guess if we're going to focus on something, focus on the positive of Robbie Fabbri.
Yeah.
Looks like he might be able to come back sooner than later. And, you know, he adds not a big physical presence, but he's a feisty little shit out there, and he brings some speed. And last night it looked like he had the speed turned on in the American Hockey League. He got through on a shorthanded breakaway, but
that's the one, though, you got to hold your breath on this kid here. Cause
that's the problem,
right?
You
drive by a hospital, he jumps into it for some reason.
Fuck, you don't want to, you don't want to take your paycheck and go betting it on there.
No, not on him.
But
it would help. It would definitely help.
But if he's
healthy,
like he slots in there, and all of a sudden your team, I don't want to say your team physicality, but the makeup of your team just changes.
Just make sure that one place there where the Zamboni goes out, make sure they can't see the Zamboni because he likes that color and he wants to jump in. just make sure that's not there. Put that cover up there, the curtain.
Oh, boy.
So, anyways, it's positive news to have Robbie Fabbri back and playing, but scoring goals, that'll bring him back hopefully with some confidence, and hopefully he gets through this, and we'll all hold our breath for the first while and hope that he stays healthy.
Yeah, you know, I got a question for you guys that I'm sure fans are interested in. The young guys and the way, and it's, you know, you're talking about Blais, and you didn't think he played a bad game, but you start looking, and you brought up Thomas already, who's also been a hot topic. The whole young player thing, there's a lot of chatter on social media about that. You know, I think Blues fans were expecting these young guys to come in here and produce. Now, produce is a complete.
What is their average ice time? You got it pulled up. Yeah, it should have their average total on ice.
Well, it's funny. Blais was the most on average at 11 minutes. Kyrou's at 10.5, and obviously Thomas.
I didn't expect that. Kyrou, I did. Thomas had to be. How low is he?
Eight, almost nine.
Yeah, really. I didn't expect that much.
You know, you kind of want it for these kinds of players. You kind of would like, in an ideal world, you'd like it to be double digits. 10 and above. You know, they're not going to get 14, 15 because there's only so much cake to pass out right at the party, and not everybody gets a big slice. And you've got three lines ahead of those kids that are eating up a big portion, but you'd still like to find a way to get them into double digits. 11, 12 minutes a game, I think they can work with that.
I think, and realistically, if you want to call a spade, they're victims of the team's success is what they are, really. Because
if
the team's doing well, that line probably plays a little bit more. If you're winning by two or three goals a game, I'm pretty sure Yo's going to try to run four lines on a full thing.
Experimenting more.
And vice with the way that the NHL plays their little ball game they like to play, you get a shit ton of penalties at the start of the year because they're going to lay the boot down on how the game's going to be played. And so now the power play becomes a big thing, and it just turns into a one of those shit fests going on.
It's tough because you do have your lineup and you do have some good young players, but when you get into these close games or you're losing, and as a coach should, you kind of default to your veterans, your older players, for a couple of reasons. One, you believe that those guys are the guys that can pull you out of it And two is you don't necessarily want to put the young guys in a position of failure where they get out there and then they get scored on. Or like Sammy Blay the other night, unfortunately ends up kind of being the kiss of death. He ices the puck twice in the last part of the third period, and one ends up in the back of the net because they don't get out of their end, and then all of a sudden he's sent down. So now, whether it has anything to do with that play or not, he gets sent down, and he's thinking, shit, it's because of the goddamn icings.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up because if you look at it, you know, you guys have covered the Yo thing, right? And I've watched a lot of Blues hockey, suffered like all fans at different times and been so excited other times. But you watch Yo, I mean, these post-game press conferences are, you know, he's about as frustrated as he can be. You got a guy that's called his team out numerous times. You've got one of your best young defensemen probably makes a mistake and hits the press box for a couple games and then hasn't really come back and gotten the ice time that I think most in this room thinks he should have. You got Sammy Blay, who goes down, and to your point, it may not necessarily have been because of the icing, but some reason or another, he's gone, right?
But it looks like it is.
Yeah,
now,
sure.
Right? Like-
Bouwmeester actually gets sent to the penalty box, gets sent upstairs, but then comes back, injury or not, whatever you want to call it. And again, one reason or another, he winds up playing 20-something minutes. All that being said, what more can the coach do? I feel like Mike Yo's probably sitting there going, I don't know what else to do. I mean, you could keep doing the same thing over and over again. I get that, and hope that they just play better, but I don't know what else he's supposed to do.
It's actually what's going to happen here in the next seven games is sort of a little help to you because you get at home. If you can get on a winning streak, you could carry that son of a gun for a while.
Sure.
So there's, you know, get the confidence going, playing in front of your fan, getting at home. They got to get winning some games on it. They got to win two or three. And once you get to that, things start getting a little easier. People start to relax a little bit more. The confidence level gets a bit better. But so you're coming home. Some people say you can do it on the road. It's hard to play on the road. I don't care where you're at. It's hard, but it's all about confidence. Wherever you feel confident at. So maybe this is going to be a homer team, which would be good.
Yeah.
But if they could get home and get on a roll here. So they got that in their favor right now. But there's hard games coming at them. There's hard teams.
The main thing they have to do here is, as a coaching staff and as a group of players, they have to identify how they're going to play. And they have to consistently play that way. And the biggest thing that people want to do, and it's natural, is when things aren't going good, they try to change things all the time. Well, what happens is you never actually get settled into one certain way of doing it, and it always seems like it's chaotic then. Every game is different. Players are different. Lines are different. And I get it, because if you're not winning, then you're trying to find the secret sauce, right? But sometimes the secret sauce is there. You just got to let it, you got to let it cook a little longer. And we'll see. I think that this is an opportunity for the Blues. They've had some pretty good production from a couple of these lines that start to look like they actually like playing together or on the same line. If they can tighten up the third periods, maybe this thing turns around. And then maybe they have something to build off of. But you're right. As a coach, it's difficult because there's a fine line between tweaking too much day-to-day on the operations side of what we're going to do systematically, and then there's the danger of not doing enough. So, I mean, that's why these guys, unfortunately, that's why Yo has no more hair left, you know?
And I want to feel for him, but then taking it all the way full circle, I sit there and I think, and I'm just going to say this, he can't possibly think about playing Oscar Sundquist, can he?
Well, we can think about it.
I mean,
well, in my opinion,
You're gonna.
My opinion, Sundquist was headed to the minors. Then he got hurt. So he has to stay in the NHL because he was hurt.
Is he one-way or two-way, do you know?
He's a one-way deal. Now, I don't see where he fits in, because as much as he is, an okay player, he's very vanilla.
But they didn't trade for him to be a player in the minors, though, right? Correct?
I'm not sure.
I can't be.
Doesn't hurt your team.
Did they really want him?
He doesn't hurt your team. He doesn't help your team, right? So when you have those players, and like Kimby said, and you're putting them in that role of your fourth line or whatnot, it's difficult. I don't know. I don't see it personally from my perspective. I don't see him going into the lineup and staying in our lineup. But right now, I guess, if you're sitting back like we all are, you kind of think sometimes, well, why not? what can it hurt?
I really believe when you're sitting there, and this is just me saying this, you're trying to get on a roll, but I sort of get to the theory of I need three lines. I don't give a fuck about the fourth line right now. I need three lines to roll, and yeah. I need four defensemen to roll, and these other guys are just sort of there to support till I get this ship running down the right way. So if I'm coaching the team, I'm going to say, hey, where's my big boys? These are the ones that are supposed to carry the weight. Let's go carry the damn thing, see if we can get our team going in the right direction. And then we'll add these guys as we get going in the right direction.
Well, what it does give you the luxury of doing, and I don't want to say the word luxury, it's kind of a luxury, is, and we talked about the 8 minutes a game. That hasn't been phenomenal for Robert Thomas. He hasn't been phenomenal as a player yet. It doesn't mean he won't be. I'm not saying he's bad. But he's unfortunately in a really bad situation because he cannot go to the minors. He has to go back to junior hockey. So the Blues are stuck either barely playing him all year and spotting him in from time to time, or they have to send him down where they can't bring him up unless it's an absolute emergency situation. So by bringing Sundqvist back into the fold, you know, I don't think he's expecting a ton of ice time right off the hop. So you have Barbashev and Sundqvist that can both play center for that fourth line. So if you have Robert Thomas for some reason that you think his development would be better back in the OHL and playing at the World Juniors and playing 20 minutes a game, now you have, you know, Barbashev, Kyrou, Sundqvist, and who else do they have on that fourth line? Well, Fabry will be back, so somebody will get bumped down. Whatever the case.
Thomas is the scratch. It's out right now. Yeah. Sundqvist is centering Barbashev and Kyrou.
Okay, so but that literally plays into what I'm saying right now, yeah. Is you can put him in that fourth line center, and just like you said, Kimby, if you're rolling your top three lines, what's the difference,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So
you know, and you played, and I know I'm not going to go back to when I played because the fourth line was a different animal back when I played. It was you know, there was fighters on that line, and you knew your role, but the NHL, they can run with three lines. You can run with three lines, and you know what? When you run with three lines, the teams that I played on were like with Oatsy and Holly, they put them more in flow in the game. Jeremy Roenick, he put him more in flow in the game, and they took it upon themselves, which they should, because they were the reason you were going to win the hockey game realistically anyway. You know, yeah. They're the main goal. So now, as I'm the coach, I say to Holly or Oatsy at the time we're playing, so they take the responsibility. You're going to play all the key things. You're getting all the ice time. Now it's on you. So. And then they took it upon themselves, and they would lead you down the right way, and that's what JR would do in Chicago also.
Well, I guess we'll find out, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Sundqvist goes in. I don't know what else, whether tweaks. I wasn't at morning skate this morning, but I guess we'll find out. Hey, did you guys watch just kind of little Jamie's ADD here a little bit?
New segment.
Did you guys happen to catch the Nashville-San Jose game?
No, I did not.
No.
Okay, well, one, you talk about fun hockey to watch. Those two teams, they get after it. And there's speed, there's goal scoring, there's all the above. But, and we talk about, and I'm going back to the officiating again. They have a play at the end of the game where Arvidsson goes to retrieve a loose puck, and he goes to reverse it up the wall. And Mark Edward Vlasic, Pickles, as they call him, is on him. And Arvidsson's stick goes just over his head. And if you get on Twitter and you punch in, you know, Vlasic or whatever, or bad call Vlasic, it will pull it up for you. The stick goes over top of his head, never actually touches him, but Vlasic flinches down. And I don't know if he's acting like it hit him or if he's acting like, holy crap, that was close. But the referee's arm goes up. 2-minute penalty for high sticking. And it's a tie game, and it's late in the third period, like 3 minutes left in the game, and sure as shit, they score on the power play. So as much – the league was probably watching that at that time in Toronto going, please don't score, please don't score, please don't score. And then they score, and then, of course, now everybody on social media, any outlet that you've seen, they're slowing it down and playing it over and over, and then they're doing that boomerang thing, right, where – you see it go over and back, over and back, over and back, and there's no penalty there. I just feel bad. But my question in bringing this up is, does the NHL start to look at instant replay for a penalty in the last 5 minutes of a game?
Well,
do they start that?
Well, hang on. But isn't it – okay, My stance.
Do we go there?
Replay's awful. Number one, I don't want it. And I don't,
yeah, but what if that was the Blues?
I don't care. I don't want
no,
it.
No, you'd be no, in here. There but, would be Jamie, shit broken Jamie, everywhere.
I am on record as saying, obviously, I love the Cardinals too. I don't even want it in 1985. I get it. I understand. Okay, I get it. If there's instant replay in 85, we may win another World Series. I get it.
Oh, but he's not holding on to that one.
I don't want it.
I want it on the goal. I want it on the what they do with the goal. I'm good there.
It's killing the game.
But you're going. Yeah, but when you go to the offside, they're all doing this shit. And that's not the game of hockey when it was played. The way the game of hockey is played, it's probably the fastest sport that you're going to roll at. Baseball, you know, it goes. Football, there's things. Hockey, you go for 20 minutes, and it's high pace, and that's what the fans love about it is high pace.
Yeah.
And then there's a lull, and then you get back going.
Yeah, but until your team suffers that, Kimby. Yeah. Like,
I hate listening to the Alec Trebek song, every fucking song they got to do for a referee.
Don't you inherently know it goes what goes around comes around?
No, but I understand that, but I'm just saying,
I'll
if this is game 7 of a playoff series, and the ref calls that call against the Blues, and the other team scores and wins, how are we feeling then about it?
But you're still going to have controversy about it. Look at the Holly goal when.
Well, yeah, but
you see the same.
But this is a little
different. Still going to argue either way, black or white. You know what I mean?
That was reviewed, right?
Oh,
it was reviewed.
Yeah.
Oh, trust me.
And people have barked at that one for a long time.
I
disagree with them, but that's the way it is.
It was a hockey goal.
Yes.
Now applied to the rules that year, though.
Yeah.
It was a little. The water was murky.
What side of the fence you're going to go to? Like you said earlier.
I don't know. I just worry that there's
but
plays
it's coming.
Like that, and there's so many guys that are diving these days.
I like
embellishing.
The Kerber. I liked what Kerber said on Twitter, though. Like when he was sitting there talking about it, and he goes, "These guys that embellish, and if a referee would have the balls to call it, you know, maybe you're taking a dive." Do something to that guy.
Well, why don't they do that for league review?
That son of a gun.
Yeah,
you know?
Like honestly, because
that's
now,
chicken shit hockey.
Can
there.
You call embellishment without calling a penalty?
Well, you can. Now the referee is very seldom.
You know how they call a hook and an embellishment?
Yeah,
they send both guys.
Yes.
Okay, that's been my biggest fucking pet peeve ever. Is when they call a penalty for hooking and then they call a diving.
Exactly.
Every time I've seen that, I've always asked the ref. I'm like, it's either a hooking call or it's a diving.
Correct.
How can you have both? Because if you're saying he dove, that means he didn't hook him. And if he did hook him, you can't call the dive.
But do you know, Rivs, and I'm watching a game I'm watching a game last night, and the Colorado game, and the Colorado guy is and he stuck his stick out. And I swear to God, if there was a box of Kleenex tissue there, he would have been lucky to break it. And that's how hard he touched the guy with it. And they called him for a goddamn penalty. And I just watched the guy get hit from behind earlier in that, and there was nothing. The spectrum is so wide for these referees, and they're backed up so goddamn much that doesn't matter.
But now, guys, too, you're 100% right. But guys, too, now are embellishing.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
So
it's terrible.
If you get hit, you get crushed coming through the middle of the ice, right? Or you get hit along the boards. Guys are like literally, and because of these damn visors now, guys are popping their head back. They do the Kirk Maltby, we'll call it, right? Because Maltz used to do, he had it down to a science where anytime someone hit him, he'd pop his head and his visor would pop up and it looked like he got smashed in the face. So now guys are dragging the puck along the wall.
Yep.
They get hit. They do the little pop of the visor and they look over at the ref and like, holy shit, he must have got hit in the face. There's a penalty.
Exactly.
But then if they knew that George Parros and DOPS, Department of Player Safety, we're going to go through that slow motion and see that it was a bullshit, that he never got touched, and they said, okay, you're suspended a game.
Yeah.
I guarantee we wouldn't get the diving anymore.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah. Well,
that's a hot button for me because I just don't I don't see how you have hooking and diving. It's one or the other. It's impossible to have both.
Correct.
Well, as I monitor social media, it is going crazy over Robert Thomas sitting in Sunquist playing.
What's Yo going to do?
How many games is he at right now, Thomas?
Probably at like six, I think, still. I think.
Five. And somebody that kind of follows the team, I think he's a writer, not a...
Let's call him out. What's his name?
Jeff Jones.
Oh yeah,
that's Jerry's brother,
Jerry.
Jeff Jones. He was getting into. He got into it with you.
Just a little bit, but he didn't continue down the road with the Yahoos.
He was the one that told you that told you how to the proper technique for a hit.
No, yeah, he did that. I was rolling on the floor laughing. So then
he kind of ran your show.
No, he didn't.
I used to do that shit.
They introduced me to the block shot. Though. Hey. Block him, so I blocked him now, so I'm good.
quick thought on that is, and I had a teammate of mine one time tell me that, hey, Rivs, you could start a fight in church. And I used to do that shit to Twister and even Chaser. Basil McRae was great. I'd skate by and I'd go, I can't fucking believe that shit. He'd be like, what? I go, that guy just said you're fucking pussy. And he'd be like, what? I'd be like, he said he asked you to go on the face-off and you said no. And then they'd be like, bullshit. Go out there and be a spear in the guy. And then they'd find out later, you son of a bitch.
Well, he actually brings up and I'm assuming he's got a little bit behind the scenes, but he says it is apparent to him that they're going to drag out the 9 games so that they can send Thomas to World Juniors.
To a certain World Juniors,
and then he'll go right.
Well,
to
now
his
you know there's
club.
A rule in place. You are allowed to send him down for 2 weeks conditioning once this year. So if I was the Blues, when Fabry comes back, I would send Robert Thomas down to San Antonio for 2 weeks conditioning, and then when you take in the timing of that plus bringing him back. Play him one game, maybe two, World Juniors. Like, all of a sudden now you've created a development year for this guy.
And then after that, you see where you're at.
You could have an injury, you could have something.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. I'm just saying this kid's supposed to be the future here.
I know, but going back to junior.
But I'm just saying, he's supposed to be the future. And I'll guarantee you right now, I know what the kid's probably thinking. I know what he wants to do. Probably, I'll guarantee he wants to go back to junior. I'll guarantee he does.
I've been there, and
I've been there too. I wanted to go back my first year pro.
I would never
because things weren't working out right, and I wanted to go back.
I never would have wanted to because I'd always want the challenge to prove everybody wrong.
Yeah. Things weren't going down they're not going down the gravy train for him right now either.
No,
so
I
understand. I know what's creeping
into the minors.
I'm just saying I know what's creeping into his mind. I'll guarantee he's got buddies back home that he would sit around and they're throwing. So that's entering his mind.
Well,
maybe
he's looking up in Canada and they just legalized marijuana.
Yeah,
and
get
like
the hell
to go back and
too.
Get a little Cheech and Chong on.
Exactly.
Hey, what do you think of that? Lucky Lake had to be in smoke
the
other night.
They're growing a place about 3 miles out of town.
How about this? Okay, now just to hit on that, what about farming?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I like this. I wish it would get into that for the farmers. You know, if they could,
right?
The government would be paying you
now
money.
Now we know the farmers have been growing their own weed for years.
Exactly.
Come on, kill
out
me.
In the hills,
come
yeah.
on.
Hey, what's
kill
going
me.
On in Lucky Lake
we
for peace?
We never
Lucky
had
Lake.
That shit in Lucky Lake.
Yeah, right.
Not there. Not when I lived there.
Yeah, they had the backyard woods there. And
what they did have was a really nice bike.
Dad,
you got there in that picture.
Dad went
Twitter.
Out into the middle of the woods once a week and came back with plants.
No.
But you think
but
that,
I, do I you know what?
It's kind of crazy though, right?
I got nothing wrong with it really. I don't.
No, nothing
and I'm
wrong
not
with
even
it.
I'm not even a person that does it. I've never I just don't go down that
no,
road.
No, I understand.
But I got nothing wrong
Maybe
with it cuz no.
Might help you.
You know what? Cuz then
you might be able to say names better.
Here's the part here yeah,
hey,
that could help.
How about that Laleen guy, dude?
The part that I don't like about it, what happens with the money that you're making off of it? Where's it going? Like, if it's going to the right thing, then I'm good for it, you know? That's
well, they're trying to treat it like they do for tobacco and alcohol. Mm-hmm. They're literally trying to turn it into that. Now, the problem I have with it, and this is obviously another ADD segment here, but the problem I have with it is that if you're drunk at work, okay, if you're drunk at work, it's noticeable.
Yeah.
Like, you can smell it, the guy, you know, whatever. Like, it's noticeable. If you're high, and I'm not a guy who does it either, so I don't know, but I know a lot of people that do, and I know a lot of people that before this got legalized, they'd go out and take a pull off of a little one-timer there, whatever they call them, and go back into work, and there's, like, no harm, no foul. So imagine now that it's legal, walking out, instead of having a cigarette break or a coffee break, you're having a weed break.
Yeah.
And then you go back into work, and let's say you're operating heavy equipment, or you're doing this, like...
It's going to be curious when you get to that part.
Or DUIs.
If you go to...
DUIs.
Yeah.
What, like, how do you judge that,
but if
right?
But if you go to... In the real world, when you go to into a work and you're working at a union, like even the mill in Grant, let's go off there. You know, if you... Something... If a shovel broke, they could run you down and test you for marijuana.
Yeah.
Now, so what's going to happen now? So if you've legal it to that point... Obviously, a doctor knows probably going to clear you on that status. I'd have to think so. They can't.
But
you're going to be working.
The
that's going to be working.
Well,
beer's legal, and you can't be drunk at work.
Exactly.
Hang on. Then the legalities come in with contracts,
correct.
Right?
Correct.
Because now, can I just do random drug testing? Am I allowed to do that with the union, with the laws? I don't know.
Here's a question to you, too, though. If you're sitting at work where you're running around heavy machinery, do you want a guy that's been sitting up there puffing out? Of course I don't.
Yeah, I don't want anybody. But that's
you can't drink.
Yes. I mean, but that's my argument here is what are we going to do, right? Yeah. And how about the guy that takes a pull off of one and he's on his way home or he's doing it in the car on the way home?
Yeah.
Well, he's under the influence. But then he gets pulled over, and it's not necessarily these days like the Cheech and Chong where you have the cloud and, you know, the smell of it. Some people have got this stuff where it's, like, flavored. And
gummy
like,
bears.
Yeah, like, right? Gummy bears, right? So now what does the officer do? He sees him swerving all over the road,
Have a couple himself.
But how do you... Have a couple. But you don't have a breathalyzer. You can't do a blood test on the spot.
Yeah.
Just curious.
I got to ask, our SynergyHockeySkills.com segment here before we go. I got
to
ask you.
I don't want Synergy piggybacked
on the back
weed.
Of that.
What the hell's wrong with you?
How about piggybacked on this? I just tweeted out for anybody listening to the show. You can go find it under our thing.
Find weed?
No. What you tweeted out the other day, can Synergy Hockey Skills teach us how to do this? I mean, what I'm playing is, and you can't see it, that's why I tweeted it. So when you're listening, you can go find it. This play by Crosby in overtime against.
Oh, beautiful.
It's incredible.
I mean, can Synergy Hockey teach us how to do that, for Pete's sake?
Oh, they can teach you that.
Where now, in the world?
Do you have the skills to keep it to do
it?
That's
can
the
you
question.
Do that? Now, what's interesting about that game was it was the McDavid versus Crosby, and everybody's like, oh, Crosby he's yesterday. McDavid's the new thing. And Crosby goes out and scores two goals with, by the way, which was underrated play, was his first goal, which is a deflection. And if you go back and look at that goal, it's a slap shot from Letang along the ice. And he just gives a little redirection wedge, and it goes almost through his legs behind the goalie. And even the goalie looks at him like, did that shit just happen?
Yeah.
And then, of course, his overtime performance where
– he literally skates through everybody.
So where
twice.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's so smart, okay? Here's where he's so smart. He knows that Strom is caught out there. He knows he's been out there for a long time. And he grinds him down. And you can watch him. He grinds him down and twists and turns and knows he's tired. And now the mental mistake's coming.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to lunge at Crosby through the legs around the goalie.
The best thing about this whole thing that went on, and it was played out probably in about 3 days before that when Pittsburgh went to Toronto, just before the Blues played him. He goes in there, Babcock come out, and they ask Babcock the question who the best player that he – and I agree with him. I still – To me, you have to beat the man to become the man. That's what I was always brought up taught in. And so Crosby right now he's got the rings. He's got the bling going with it. He still plays the game at a high level.
Gold medals.
Yeah, and he's got gold medals. So he walks in and he beats what's his name in Toronto?
Matthews
in Toronto. They win that game. He comes to Edmonton the next game up, and now we got McDavid looking there, and he beats him too. So probably shut a lot of people up in Toronto as far as that conversation goes, and Edmonton. Not that, but no, watching this McDavid skate and that, and these guys, they're phenomenal. Seeing that kind of speed is like the Solanis and the Burries back in the day.
Crazy.
They can just flat out fly. But Crosby coming in and getting the double whammy on when Babcock, the Toronto Maple Leaf head coach, is sitting there saying that. You know, that's pretty neat for him.
You know, and doesn't it define – I mean, you can take that, like you said, numerous ways, but I think that's the right message. Like, hey, you want to be the guy? Go be the guy then.
Yeah.
Also a little message sent by Crosby to let everybody know, hey, guys,
still here.
Don't worry, I'm still here.
Yeah. I'm still here.
And he's the type of guy that elevates his game
for
those situations. And now the dangerous thing that – on the flip side of that, if we're to talk about the Oilers real quick and McDavid – McDavid's averaging like 22 minutes a game right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to fizzle out. Yeah. I know he's in great shape. I know he's a hell of a skater, but and he's their whole offense.
Yeah, Tom McClellan's he's coaching for his job right
well,
now.
Well, he is, right? Because he's not looking out for the player.
No.
He's not even looking to the second half of the season. He's coaching in the right now.
Yeah, shit's been going bad in Edmonton, so he needs to turn that around.
I worry about McDavid for that because that's when – injuries can happen, and then we'd have one of the greatest players in the league out.
Yep.
So, and then we wouldn't get our Crosby-McDavid matchup.
Exactly. Well, and speaking of just one more, we'll think about Kimby's buddy over at Nelson. They like to have just one more, usually at the pub at the end of the night. So good segue there. And at NelsonLandServices.com, thank you for your continued support. For all of our listeners out there, if you're looking for some landscaping or any type of work when it comes to your lawn, your services, anything like that, NelsonLandServices.com is the name you can know and trust. 5-star locally rated company with really reasonable prices, and they do tremendous work. Really established themselves down at the Lake of the Ozarks, and as we always say, we know there's so many people from this area that spend a lot of time down there, and you've seen their handiwork. But if you need them, they're here for you. They're tremendous people. We've talked about, some of the best people you're going to meet out in the amateur hockey community, and you know they're kind of spreading the love all over the place. We talk about, you know, their one son being at McKendree. Gary just can't say enough nice things about them and the work ethic that comes from being a good family. So we want to encourage you to check out NelsonLandServices.com. And then after you've hired them to do all the work around your home, you can head on over to Adam's Smokehouse. Gents, we're going to be heading over there soon.
Good.
I'm anxious for you guys to try the barbecue and tell me what you think. I'm sure I won't have to twist your arms.
No.
But I know you've seen some of the tweets.
Do they got salad there?
I have no idea. I would hope not. Maybe a coleslaw.
Losing Kimmy's weight here, asking. So you know why Kimmy's asking? He's never seen a salad.
I tell you, they got tremendous sides. I mean, they macaroni.
What is this salad you speak of?
Tossed.
Tossed.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, you guys are headed down the – I was actually going to bring this up. And when you talked about Nelson Landscaping, it kind of sparked my brain a little bit. Because
somebody's doing some scaping.
Who's
doing the landscaping?
Yeah, the ADD going again. So we talk about Nelson Landscaping. What about manscaping?
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, no.
Kimby, seriously.
You're like on this kick where you want to end every show with something where people can go, I don't know about these guys.
No, but I just, you sit here and I hear all these other shows. They talk about stupid, crazy shit. And I'm like sitting here going, landscaping. I'm like, manscaping. I want to know if Kimby is a manscaper.
Yep.
You do?
Yep.
Now, do you go right down there, or do you, like, put a pattern in it?
No.
A pattern? It's a landing strip? Are we talking, like, Bic or
put
trim?
Question mark there, yeah.
Are we Bic or trim?
No, trim.
Trim. Okay. All right. Chromes, what about you?
It's gone.
Bic.
No, that's just old age he's talking there.
No, you got to get rid of that. That's not a good look.
Okay,
it's not a good razor.
You haven't seen down there in 10 years, Chrome.
Electric.
Okay, so it's just a little trimmer.
She goes. Yeah, but listen, this isn't 1980. They got tools for this shit.
I understand.
Days.
That's why it kind of popped in my head.
Yeah.
You're probably a waxer, are you?
That's the best $85.
Brazilian. Even when I don't need it, I do.
He makes the appointment and calls him and says, I'm coming in.
I go,
get the hot wax ready.
I can hear him screaming in there, yeah!
Like 40-year-old virgin, that's him.
I do the old...
Kimby, hold my hand!
I do the reservation Brazilian, and what you do there is you take Gorilla Tape and put it right through there, and then you have one of your buddies tear it off.
Yeah, a bottle of Lysol to start it.
Aqua Velva.
Hey, some Gorilla Tape on a Brazilian. Now you've got yourself a YouTube show.
I'm telling you right now.
Now you've got yourself a YouTube show.
You got to be careful. Yeah. You don't want to get too far up.
Can I tape that, please?
You don't want the Gorilla Tape attached to your little buddies hanging down there. I'll tell you what. That'll turn you into a screamer in a hurry.
Oh, no, I don't know how you can go any other way. It's got to go.
Now, Kimby, when you do it, do you have to wear protective eyewear? Like, I look at Kimby like
the Dumb and Dumber show with the
toes? No, but I look at it like you've got a gas-powered trimmer, and, like, shit's flying everywhere.
Hedge trimmers.
Yeah, and, like, if you don't watch out, you're fucking...
At least you know what to get the guy for Christmas, right?
The old weed whacker.
Fucking Toro.
Kimby's beard, right? Right? The hair goes right down from his beard to his toenails.
The hell it is.
Kimby's wife's like, man, that was nice of the guys to get you this Home Depot debit card for Christmas. Well, I'm out of yarn here. I got to go get some.
Darren, why do you have that 50-to-1 mixture in the garage? What's that for? It's my weed whacker, honey. Jeez. It's full of hair. Never mind.
Man.
What do you think?
The rails once again.
Only one Red Bull next week, please.
Hey, are we going to guess on Henson?
Henson's got to be, what do you call that? Au naturel. He's got to be 70s, hip bone to hip bone.
Full bush.
Like I'm talking.
Buckwheat in a headlock?
He hasn't seen it in 20 years. How the hell is he doing that?
I'm talking.
Buckwheat in a headlock?
Like fur down there. Like you could drop an egg off a building and it would land safely in there.
Holy shit.
I'm thinking.
What about butter?
It's like a tomato.
Butter to me seems like he's built for speed, right? So he's probably like Bic down from the earlobes.
I think he's
planting tomatoes.
No, I think he's like Michael Phelps.
You know what's great, though, is Monday, these guys can answer for themselves, I guess, right?
Yes. We got to get them in here for one of these segments.
Monday, they can answer themselves. I'll let you ask them on the call-in Monday. How about that?
For sure.
Well, you can finish your call-in Monday by asking them.
Oh, Henson I can walks through you. The locker room there, and he looks like he's got a squirrel on his lap.
Hey, because you know Monday they're going to want to answer for themselves. You got to remember, though, they're in a locker room with college kids. You don't think he's ever had to look at some poor kid that doesn't know any better and go, son, you got to take care of that.
No, I guarantee that they're looking at him going, holy shit, someone likes the 70s.
Oh, Lord. Disco Inferno, baby.
He can't go commando when he's zipping them up then. He'll be screaming.
That sounds like next week's question. You know, so, commandos, boxers, or briefs?
As we parlay it over, we'll go with Nelson's Manscaping.
Yeah, Nelson. Hey, let them know that you've got him set up on a whole new business venture. Hey, Mama Nelson, did you hear your boy Darren? He's got you set up on a whole new venture here.
You would like the electric, the unleaded, or the diesel version?
Hey,
what do you want?
Lake of the Ozarks is kind of perfect. Everybody's in their swimsuits.
They're going to cancel their sponsorship of the show.
Oh, no, we might have just given them a whole new avenue.
Yes, we might have.
They're going to have somebody that listens to this show is going to call in and go, yes, I'd like to order some manscaping.
I'd like to go.
She's going to be like, sorry, we don't do that.
I'd like to go with the Kimball, please.
Yeah, I'd like to go with the Jesus Christ. Well, I don't know. We went from, And Mike over at Adam Smokehouse is going, can you guys please not try to tie me in any of your segments?
Well, we tied weed to Synergy Hockey. Yeah. Like,
can we just go with
God.
I got a great barbecue product here. I got great sides. I got great specials. Find me on Watson Road. Hey, you know what's funny is when you guys get there, you know what's going to be cool? He's got a map of, like, people have come in there from all over the place. And are they even going to be able to find where you're from, Kimmy?
Lucky
no.
they.
Shit, no.
They're going to put a pin in that
they
one.
They used to have a sign up that said it was there, but I think someone knocked it over, so they don't even got that there anymore.
Somebody
home of Darren Kimble?
Somebody drove the combine
Wait a minute.
Through it.
Is Lucky Lake the home of Darren Kimble?
Yeah, it is.
There's no, it's you? That's it?
Just me.
Is there a sign, though?
You know, the only thing, yeah, there was, but they got, like I said, it got knocked down.
Oh, okay. Right.
Who knocked it down?
Well, I thought it was just a Lucky Lake.
Your brother? My brother.
Jealous.
Yeah. But actually, yeah, I was the only one out of there. But Dave Schultz, I'm just going off of history. I've said this before in there. Dave Schultz made a run through there playing a little bit of hockey of some sort, is what I was told.
Holy, that's a good one. What about
I got to look that up.
Riz, where are you from?
Ottawa.
So you got to, did you even make the, make the sign in town there when you pull in, of home of Jamie Rivers? Or?
No, my brother and I, where we had the outdoor rink, the community outdoor rink, at one point they had called it like the Rivers Park or whatever, because both of us skated there and made it to the NHL, and we're the only two guys that came out of our neighborhood to do that. So at that one point, I haven't been back there in ages. So
you know what's real cool, just real before you go, so on Twitter, the guy they're putting into the music hall, I think it's a Canadian Music Hall of Fame. Did you see that?
No.
Stompin' Tom.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I'll tell you, this guy is the hockey song's there, yeah, but the Sudbury Saturday Night was one of my favorites.
Sudbury Saturday Night.
But, yeah.
Play that on Junior Hockey, man, and I played up in Sudbury. There's nothing like it. Nope. And it was so true, because you'd be like, it's Saturday night. It's all right. Yeah. We had a good fight. You'd go to Sudbury, Ontario, and I love that place like no other. Honestly, I'd do again. I love the people up there. It was the most unbelievable junior experience that I could ever imagine. But on a Saturday night, and Mike Yo played with me there.
Didn't Lochie play there?
No, Lochie's from up in Timmins.
Oh, is that where you're from?
But you'd have your Saturday night hockey game at Sudbury Arena, and when I was playing there, like, 5,000 was packed.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it was, just jammed in, and you go out, and we never lose on a Saturday night, right?
No,
like,
no.
You can't lose on Saturday night. And then you go out after the game, and you'd have, you know, a couple of cold ones here and there, and then it was never fail. Like, you'd go watch the hockey game or play in it, go out to the bar, have a few cocktails, and then go out in the parking lot and watch the fights. It was incredible. And it would be like, no, nothing personal. We're going to go here.
Yep.
We're going to have at her. And when we're done, we'll go our own ways and see you next week.
Yep.
But it was awesome.
Tom, if anyone wants to listen to some old country music guy, there's Stompin' Tom. He's one of the legends of Canada.
Yeah, he is.
Here's trivia for you. You got some good awful good players come from Ottawa, my friend. So, you know, you're in good company there. Who do you think the most points player to come from
Steve
Ottawa?
Steve Yzerman.
Mike Gartner.
No, Steve Yzerman's from Ottawa.
That's not what it says here.
Well, he's from Nepean, Ontario.
Okay.
It's Ottawa. It would be like saying that Clayton is not a part of St. Louis, right? It is.
Okay. So,
it's the same thing.
Yeah. It says, according to this, actually from Ottawa, it's Mike Gartner, then Brenda Moore, Dennis Potvin.
Yeah.
Rick Vives on this list.
Rick Vives.
Remember
yeah.
Rick Vives?
I do. I watched him play junior hockey. I
punched him in the back of the head and put him in a horse collar for a couple of years.
Oh, Jesus. That was you did that?
Yeah.
He did. He had the old foam roller there on the back
and
of
the
his
neck.
And
the next night we went back to Ottawa or Buffalo and I fought Parker the next night.
Rick Vives was one of those guys. He was in about 8,000 rumors coming to the Blues for everybody wanted Rick Vives for
a
while.
He was a good player, man.
Yeah. Well, at least you guys made it to your hometown's sign in front. Mine, they kicked me out, so it was no good.
Parts Unknown has a sign?
Stay out.
Hey, guys, thanks for coming in, obviously. And, you know, Jamie, anything? I know holidays are coming with Synergy Hockey Skills. Same stuff. You know, your camp still open or are you closed?
Yeah, you know, we're going to have a couple things coming up for holiday season. We're currently right now trying to put together a Black Friday camp, which give parents the ability to drop off the kids, go out, do shopping, whatever they got to do, run around for a few hours.
And never thought you'd be a babysitter, did you?
No, it's not really babysitting.
I know.
It's for kids who want to do something, and you know, Black Friday. You want to get drug around the mall with your mom and dad? Probably not, right? We got that coming up, and then we have holiday camps coming up that we don't have the dates solidified yet, but they'll be part of a package that'll be released on Black Friday with discounts to it so that people can put them in stocking stuffers
yeah,
for kids.
Good stuff. So. Well, appreciate you. Kimby, how's the high school team looking?
We're getting ready to roll. We play an exhibition game actually Saturday night, and then we're starting here in a week and a half. So if they're all there, it's, you know, we got teams, kids are playing on AAA or Car Shield or whatever they're playing on, and but if they're all there, we'll be all right. We'll be fine.
I'll tell you what, you've got you've brought some. Not that they things haven't been good there; they've been fine. But you brought some excitement back there, which is good because Granite City for a while was great. I mean, not that it's not now, but I mean they had some awfully good teams back in the day when they were one of the only. I mean, it was us and Cahokia when I was in high school, and we played CBC, DeSmet. All them schools.
December or January, I'm going to regret this decision, but it's because it's going to be cold as a son of a bitch in there. But
the old granite ring. That's gritty.
I've never seen as
gritty.
Much.
Speaking of gritty.
Obviously, I'm from there, and I still am friends with everybody there, and I've always seen things that pop up, but I've never seen as much stuff about the upcoming season as I've seen since you've taken over. I haven't played in it in years, but the alumni game is coming up, and I haven't seen as much stuff about that as I've seen this
you
year.
You know what? So
you've got him buzzing.
A guy I work with, though, Danny Green, he sort of runs – he was coaching him last year, and he's still helping me coach with him this year. But Danny does a lot with that alumni. So he was talking to me about it the other day and getting ready to ramp it up again.
It was a lot of fun when we were younger. It's good to still see, like, you know, like I played with Todd Hennister, but even Chris Hennister still plays and some of those guys. And it's good to see that it's still flourishing. So good stuff as always, and congratulations to you and my former Granite City Warrior hockey team. So,
Attaboy, Kimby.
Great stuff as always. Again, we want to thank everybody for joining us on Blues NHL Podcast. Going to remind you again to check us out at bluesnhlpodcast.com. Find us on Twitter at STL Blues Podcast. If you're a Blues fan and you follow us, we're going to follow you back. Head on over to our Instagram. Type in Blues NHL Podcast Show. We'd love you to follow us there. Just found out today. It looks like we're going to be trying some new interesting things on Instagram. So we'd love you to follow us. Hit us up on Facebook as well. You just simply type in Blues NHL Podcast. Like us, follow the page, click invite your friends, then jump in the contest a little bit. Once you see the pinned post go up on Mondays and Thursdays, like it, comment, and please share as we're trying to get more people involved in the conversation and get it rolling that way. You'll be eligible for some wonderful prizes, and we'd like to thank Jamie Rivers and his connections for helping us with that stuff as well. To all of our partners out there, thank you, InnovativeCompanies.com. Don't forget my man, Randy Green. That's InnovativeCompanies.com, home of the four companies under one umbrella, construction, heating and cooling, electric, and now the plumbing team. Don't forget Nelson Land Services, NelsonLandServices.com. Great people, and again, five-star rated, very reasonable prices. Adam Smokehouse over on Watson Road. Go tell Mike we said hello. Grab yourself some barbecue. SynergyHockeySkills.com. Thank you very much as well. For all of us here at Blues NHL Podcast, let's go Blues!
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.